reading to you from the 20th chapter of Acts, and with the 35th verse. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. I've had some wonderful opportunities in my Christian walk. I've not always done what God wanted me to do, I'm sure. And I'm sure there's times that God must have said, oh, Cecil. But I'll tell you right now, if we do sin, and we will sin, what you need to do is confess it, turn from it, and he said he'd forgive you. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the 20th chapter of Acts? And let's begin reading with the 22nd verse. And now behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of an account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. I've kind of labeled this the man who couldn't be stopped. You know, friends, Paul's destination was Jerusalem, and he longed to minister in that historic city, and he hoped to arrive by time of Pentecost. In verse 16 it says, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus in order that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. You see, Paul received many warnings of troubles along the way. Bonds and affliction awaited him in Jerusalem. But you know, friends, these warnings couldn't stop him from reaching his destination. He said, none of these things move me. What motivated Paul to head to danger? Well, he was determined to complete his ministry. At conversion, Paul was called into ministry in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. That was quite an experience. Believe me, he had an experience. Well, not everybody has the same experience that Saul of Tarsus has. I've heard people get up and give great swelling testimonies, and they're all right. But not any of us have the same testimony. So if you're looking for something that someone else said, just let the Lord come into your heart, and he'll show you what he wants to do. See, meeting Christ on the Damascus Road changed Saul's life forever. You know, what wilt thou do, have me to do? Boy, you know what that meant? That meant he made a full surrender that day of his life. You know, I wasn't called to preach till a year after I was saved. And I want you to know, friends, and I know this might make some of you upset, but it's the truth. God never called me to preach until I gave up those cigarettes. They say, well, you mean people who smoke are not called? I never said that. He never called me until I surrendered those cigarettes. He, the day I was saved, he delivered me from alcohol. But you see, I wanted to keep those little gods with me because I didn't think I could live without them. And my dear friends, don't look down at your nose at people who smoke. Pray for them. It's one of the hardest things in this world you'll have to give up. Believe me, I'm telling you, I've been there. Paul's ministry meant more to him than his life. He said, "Neither count I my life dear." His life had been in jeopardy many times. See, reaching souls had become Paul's passion. In 1 Corinthians 9:22, he said, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some." Now, he ministered publicly and in homes and anywhere else they'd let him preach. Paul preached both to the Jews and his Gentiles, and he was committed to fulfilling his mission. Oh, dear friends, listen to me. Listen to me. God said to Paul, or Paul said, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. I might finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." You know, Paul was always being challenged about his call. Every place he went, he was challenged. But Paul, or Saul, was called the day he was saved. Now, friends, I know the day I was called. I was up on a roof putting a shingle roof on. And I'm telling you, it was awesome. I had to stop and pray. Didn't know why, but God said, "Stop." And he said, "I want you to be a preacher." Now, he didn't use those words out loud, but they were in my spirit. And I knew, and I thought, not me. Of all the people that shouldn't be a preacher, I'm one of them. Because I felt inadequate. I just didn't know anything, and on, on, on. But, beloved, listen to me very carefully. If God's calling you to preach, my dear friend, he will give you the tools for the trade. He doesn't call people that he doesn't equip. And you know how you get your equipment? On your knees and in the Word of God. He will show you everything that you're going to need to speak about. You know, I've been out doing soul winning, and this person asked me a question that I couldn't sensibly answer. Well, I just kept on talking and thumbing through my pages, and all of a sudden, there the scripture right there before me. I don't know why that works, but it certainly does. He said, "Don't worry what you're going to say. I'll give you the things you need to say and in the hour you need it." See, he was committed to fulfilling his mission. He wasn't satisfied with only past accomplishments, although my wife and I have been doing a lot of that lately, sitting out on our porch and our deck and talking about the things. You know, when we first started out and I first started preaching, we nearly starved to death. I'm telling you, we didn't have enough gas to get to a place to preach. But somehow, some way, God always supplied our needs. And he said he would. If we would do his will, he'd take care of us. And believe me, friends, I know that's true. But he wasn't satisfied on his past accomplishments, and there was no resting on his laurels. He seized every day, or each day I should say, for his ministry. Paul believed God's plan reached to the end of his life. And he said he wanted to finish his course with joy. Well, I'll assure you he did. He guarded against final failure in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself might be disqualified." Listen, let me ask you, what are you doing about finishing your course with joy? And I'm going to ask you a personal question, and don't you get mad at me, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway. Have you ever, in your Christian life, ever witnessed to someone about Jesus? You say, "Well, I've invited them to Sunday school, and I'm inviting them to church." Now, that's good. That's okay. But have you personally ever sat down and said, "You know, Bill, I want to tell you what happened to me about 6 years ago"? Have you ever done that? Or have you ever tried to introduce a soul to Christ? And that's what we're supposed to do. That's why we're on this earth, is to try to reach people for Jesus. That is the only reason you and I are here today. So, Paul said, "I want to finish my course, And I want to finish with joy. Well, there is a joy. There certainly is a joy. Now, I'm, like I say, you know I'm 81 years old, going on 82. And a lot of people quit. I know a pastor friend of mine. He told me, he said, "Cecil, I can't wait till I get 65. I said, "What you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to retire from the ministry." I said, "Brother, where do you find that in the Bible?" "Well, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to build furniture." Boy, he was a furniture builder. But do you know what troubled me? And when I came home from Virginia, I told my wife, I said, "You know, Dr. McClung, one of the greatest, he's a great preacher. My, he could preach circles around most preachers. And he's going to quit. I can't believe it." Well, now, several years have passed, and I was called to preach two revivals, down in the northern part of the Virginia. And about a week before I left, I get a phone call from Virginia. It was Dr. McClung. I said, "How you doing, Doc?" "Oh," he said, "you know, I retired." "Oh," I said, "okay." "Hey," he said, "but right now I'm filling in on a church. I'm preaching part-time in this church. And would you like to come and preach a revival in our church?" I said, "Wow, that's three revivals in a row. I don't know if I can stay away that long." Talked to my wife. I said, "Sure, you can. Go ahead." She was running her and my sons and two daughters were running the business anyway. So I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So when I went down and I preached the two revivals, then I drove over to his church, and we were sitting out on a deck having a glass of iced tea, and the funniest look came across his face. I said, what are you going to tell me?" He said, "Cecil, you remember when I told you I couldn't wait to retire from the ministry?" I said, "Doc, yes." And you know, I said, "I'll tell you, to be honest with you, it troubled me a lot. Because I said, you are an excellent preacher. Why in the world would you want to quit?" Well, he said, "I did. And I quit. And I started making furniture." And one day he said, "I got up in the morning and I started to clear my throat and I lost my voice." He completely lost his voice. They took him to specialist after specialist, but they could not find out what was wrong. He said, "One day I was here by myself. My wife was gone and I was sitting on a deck." He said, and tears began to come down my eye. And he said, "Lord, you know, I told you I couldn't wait to quit preaching. But," he said, "you know, I've been preaching for 30-some years, and I've always been there when you wanted me. Now I can't preach, but you know, Lord, if you give me back my voice, I'll go back to preaching." Did you know? He got his voice back, and he began to preach. And he preached up until the time God took him home. You see, we who know Christ, we have a message now. You don't have to be a preacher to have a message. But if you're born again, blood-bought, God Almighty will show you and lead you as to what He wants for your life. God has a purpose and God has a plan for your life. I don't care how insignificant you think you are and how unlearned you think you are. They said that Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men, but the one thing they couldn't understand, they had been with Jesus. If you're born again and your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, my beloved friend, you have a job to do, and best you get about doing it before you die. You don't want to stand before God and say, "Lord, I never tried to witness. I never led a soul to Christ." I hope you're thinking about that, because we're going to have to stand before God and give an account for our life someday. Every born-again person. See, Paul was eager to deliver his message. And Paul's purpose was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. See, Paul never got over glorying in the miracle of grace, nor should we. The persecutor of Christians had been saved by grace. That rascal, he was out having Christian beat, put in prison. Why, first martyr killed. He held his coat and he saw it. I'm sure that Saul of Tarsus was never able to forget the look on that deacon's face when he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what to do." See, Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem to explain grace. And see, grace made salvation a gift, Beloved, listen, you may not have that gift tonight. You may not be born again. You might be lost. Well, grace is a gift. God gives it. All you have to do by faith, reach out and take it. But you have to repent first. And then you have to receive Christ as Savior. See, grace made legalism obsolete. And grace was made possible by Christ's sacrifice for us. You know, you've heard this a million times. Oh, those Jews took Jesus' life. They did not take Jesus' life. They nailed him on the cross. They sure did. And they put the crown of thorns in his head. And they did all those things. And they stuck a sword in him. But they didn't take his life. He gave his life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal everlasting life. See, no wonder Paul couldn't be stopped. He had a message, and he had a call. And we have the same message to deliver today. What's stopping us from carrying out our call? Well, I'll tell you one of the things of this world are chewing at us. Many of the churches today have forgot their first love. Now they're out washing cars down here at this big, huge Methodist church not very far from me. Those girls out there in scanty dressed little outfits washing cars to make money so they could preach nothing. They do not preach the gospel at that church. They got a woman preacher and she does not preach the gospel. But she has them there every day. I mean, that church is packed almost every day. Because she's tickling their ears and telling them what they want to hear. Friends, if you're not born again tonight, I want you to consider. I want you to consider Jesus. If you are a Christian and you know Jesus, I want you to consider, what am I doing with my life? Am I just existing? Am I going to church in the Sunday morning, Sunday night, and prayer meeting? Is that my existence of my life? Beloved, if that's all you got, you haven't found the answer yet. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, he said. Be ye witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and uttermost parts of the world. Go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. That's a command from our Lord and Savior. Let me ask you, friend, is he speaking to your heart tonight? Is he saying to you, child, Cecil hit it right on the nail. You haven't been witnessing. You haven't been soul winning. You haven't been tithing. And you're a miserable mess. But I can straighten that out, God said. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. God loves you tonight. He doesn't love our sins, but he loves us as sinners. Now, if you're born again, and you haven't been doing what you should do, I wanted you to do this. I want you to ask the Lord to do something for you tonight. Tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. Cecil's right. I really haven't been trying to help win souls. Forgive me, Lord, and lead me and help me to do what you want me to do. If you're not born again, you don't know Jesus, I want you to bow your head with me tonight and don't pray this unless you really, really mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. For Jesus' sake I pray. Amen. If you did that, call 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
I'm learning to live.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I thank you, dear ones, for tuning in. And I pray that something was said and encouraged your hearts. I would ask you to pray for me and my wife and my quartet as we go to prison. Pray for our health, that God will give us his strength, because without his strength, I can do nothing. Well, friend, until this time next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors and stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.